also, just in case. It's back up.
It's going.
It's going now? Okay, so everything will be recorded and will be placed on the WhatsApp group. Please, God. Okay, we continue our study of the Mesilas Yesharim tonight. For those who weren't here at our first Chavura, the goal is going to be to cover a single perek each night and to extract some of the central ideas of each perek as we move through the Mesilas Yesharim. Last time we covered the Hakdama, the introduction to the Mesilas Yesharim, which I said is perhaps the most widely studied and well-known chapter of Mesilas Yesharim, and tonight we move into Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is entitled Beveur Klal Chovas HaAdam BeOlamo, an explanation of the general principles pertaining to man's obligations and responsibilities in his world. And that is indeed what the Perek is devoted to. The Perek starts with a line that's become a classic line in Jewish literature. Sometimes the opening line of Sfarim stands out as a particularly noteworthy line, and that's certainly true of the Mesilas Yesharim. He begins with the line, and this is the line we're going to focus on. Yesod ha-chasidus v'shorosh ha-avoda ha-tamima hu, the essence, the foundation of piety, and the root of true divine service, wholesome and complete divine service. What is it? She-yizbarer v'yiz-ames etzel ha-odam macho vaso be'olamo. That a man should simply clarify what is his obligation in this world. And what exactly is it that he's working towards? What is his goal, his destination, his mission in all that he does throughout his life? He spends the rest of the perek trying to clarify what that is, and he makes the argument that it's an argument that we would expect, and in the spirit of the Hakdama that we discussed on Thursday, it's quite intuitive. He makes the argument that our purpose here is something more than the trivialities that we tend to be involved with on the day-to-day basis, more than just the fleeting material benefits and pursuits that we often find ourselves engaged in, and is rather something larger, more eternal and everlasting. And that's how he spends the majority of the Perek. But to me, the most striking part of the Perek is not that whole discussion of what our true goal is, but this opening line. The line that states the foundation of our true divine service is simply clarifying what our purpose is. And the reason why it's a striking line to me is because if I were writing my own Musar treatise, I could tell you definitively that's not what I would have said. I'm starting with what is Chovas HaAdam BeOlamo. I would have started trying to pull a Talmud Chacham and quoting lots of Ma'amari Chazal about what are the fundamental underpinnings of our religious lives. Tshuva tefilo tzedakah ma'avira nesroa ha'gzeira. That's one that stands out and looms large this time of year. Or al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, ala Torah v'yal ha'avodah v'yal gemilas chasadim, as the Mishnah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos tells us. Torah and tefillah and teshuva and all sorts of other things as well. Maybe Shabbos. There are all sorts of things that you could have listed as the basics, as the ABCs of what Jewish faith is about. But in many ways, the Ramchal starts with something that precedes all of them, that is more basic than all of them. And that is just giving thought to what we are doing in the first place and why we are doing it. Because so often in life, we just don't bother to do that. It's so obvious and intuitive, but on the day-to-day, how often do we actually stop to think about that, to give it mindful consideration? What exactly are we doing all of this for? I'm going to take the liberty of bleeding into Perek Beis a little bit. Perek Beis we're going to discuss more extensively on Thursday. But the Ramchal provides this analogy that he describes, an analogy that he argues is similar to the way many of us, or is akin to, the way many of us lead life. He describes Olam Hazeh, and I'm elaborating on the analogy slightly, as this opportunity, this world filled with opportunities, but also with pitfalls. You're climbing a mountain, and you want to ascend to the mountaintop. Ultimately, that is your goal. But there are all sorts of treacherous pitfalls along the way. There are crevices along the hike. There are all sorts of cliffs and jagged rocks on which you could hurt, injure, or harm yourself. He says, you're trying to reach the mountaintop, but everywhere there are hazards. And he says, the task is hard enough as it is. But so often, we do so with a blindfold, because we're unwilling to actually set our sights on what the destination is. We don't bother to start by thinking, okay, this is my destination, this is where I want to go, this is how I'm going to get there. We just walk. We just start walking without giving any consideration to those things. So not only are we dealing with this treacherous path and this lofty goal, we do so by we start by handicapping ourselves, by placing a blindfold over ourselves without even setting our sights on what the destination is. I would use a slightly different analogy, if I may, to talk about what the theme that I think starts Perek Aleph of the Mesilas Yesharim. This is something that I used to speak about with my students. It's the theme of, the analogy that I use is a jellyfish, that most basic invertebrate that ultimately has no planned destination but just floats with the currents wherever the currents may take it. And there are certain people that live lives like jellyfish, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. I mean this purely as an archetype, as a model. I wouldn't say any of us are complete jellyfish, and all of us have elements of this in our personalities. But certain people just go with the flow, wherever the flow takes them. There's a certain natural trajectory that exists in our community as to what exactly a person does. From childhood all the way through adulthood, you start in our yeshiva day school system, you go through first through 12th grade, you graduate, you spend a year or two learning in yeshiva, and then you come back, you go to college, you maybe pursue some graduate studies, you get a job, you move into certain communities, you have children, you start paying tuition. That's a particularly unfortunate part of the life trajectory, but it's this natural trajectory that we all go through. It's kind of set up for us. There are these natural expectations within our communities. And I see it all the time. There are so many kids that are just following that path, without thinking about what they're doing at any particular moment, why they're doing it, what their ultimate goal is, what they're pursuing. They just follow the path. And it carries them, again, from youth all the way through adulthood. And there's something nice about it, that it does structure our lives. It does provide certain calmness and structure where in other cases, we might be floundering. But there's a danger and hazard that comes with it as well. And that is, because everything is so structured for us, we don't ever bother to think about, again, what it is we're doing. Where are we going? What's the purpose of it all? In America, we like talking about the midlife crisis. It's a uniquely American phenomenon. And of course, there's a lot of psychological study on what it is and what it's about and what causes it and the like. And I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a psychologist. I can't say I've done research on it. This is my own armchair layperson assessment of the phenomenon. But I think often it's because you go through so much of life just indeed floating with the currents, and at a certain point something hits you. There's a shock to the system, and you realize, I have never gone through this thought process that starts Perek Aleph of Mesilas Yesharim. I've never thought about it. I've never thought about what I'm doing. I'm here now. I don't even know how I got here. I never bothered to think about why I'm here or if this is the place that I truly wanted to be. And in that moment, you wake up, there is a crisis. But the Ramchal is saying, don't let that crisis happen. Make sure that you are conscious of this on a day-to-day basis so you're not just floating. And it's true of Bnei Yeshiva as well. It's true of many people who devote their lives to Torah study and to doing mitzvahs. Very often, we just do it because that's the structure of our lives, but not because it's thought through. I'm fond of a story involving Rav Mendel Blachman. Blachman is a Ram, he's a Magid Shir in Yeshivas Karen B'Yavna, he's the Rebbe of Rabbi Zatz. And when my brother-in-law was taking his Bechina, his entrance exam to Karen B'Yavna, Rav Blachman was posing lots of questions to his guys, and he, of course, tests them in learning, but he likes to present thought-provoking questions as well. And one of the questions that he was asking everyone, almost to tempt them or to bait them, was, how many years do you plan on spending learning in our yeshiva? And of course, they all knew that Rav Blachman prefers spending 2 years learning in yeshiva before going back to college, at least, as opposed to one. So one after the other, each one was saying, oh, I definitely plan on staying Shana Bet. I'm planning on spending 2 years learning in yeshiva. And Rav Blachman was unimpressed. He was dismissing one after the next. I'm not interested. They're thinking to themselves, this is binary. It's one or two. One can't be the right answer. He's dismissing two. So what exactly is he after? So my brother-in-law, when it was his turn to take the Bechina, he was asked, how many years do you plan on spending in yeshiva? And he says, I'm going to start with one, and I'm going to see how it's going, and then I'm going to make a decision after that. And Rav Blachman was incredibly impressed. He says, that's a good answer. Don't just answer two because that's the expectation, because that's what everybody does. Approach it thoughtfully. You'll spend a year learning. And of course, my hope is that you'll be inspired, and you will grow, and you will realize how much more you have to grow, and you will continue to spend another year afterwards. But don't just do it because you know that's the answer I want, because that's the expectation. Give it thought, have a goal, have a destination in mind, and then pursue it. That's the first step of Shoresh HaAvoda. I'll close with a thought that I heard B'Shem Rav Moshe Weinberger, because it's pertinent to the time of year we're in now. It was a thought that he offered about the simanim that we do on the night of Rosh Hashanah. And on the night of Rosh Hashanah, we often start with the apple. That's, of course, the most famous of the simanim. We ask Hashem for Hashanah Tova Umesukah, for a good and sweet year. We dip the apple in the honey. And one of the other simanim that is prominent, we're not going to get into the sheep's head or anything like that, but the rimon, the pomegranate, is another one of the simanim that we used, symbolizing how we should be filled with mitzvos. And he noted, many note, that there's actually a bit of a problem, a halachic problem, with the way we structure the simanim that we do on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Because really, ordinarily, if you're going to be making a borei priya eitz between a pomegranate and an apple, really you should prefer pomegranate, for one simple reason. Why? It's one of the special fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and we give preference to those fruits over just an apple. So why do we start with the apple? So the drush that he suggested was because he was suggesting that it's based on a difference between the way the apple, just by the laws of nature, just botanically speaking, is structured as opposed to a pomegranate. An apple is something that has a core. You have to start with a core. Pomegranate has lots of seeds in all sorts of different directions. And we take those as a metaphor for mitzvos. We ask that we have a year filled with all sorts of mitzvos in all different directions, that we be surrounded by mitzvos. But if you don't have a core that brings it all together, that unifies it, that gives it a joint sense of mission and purpose, if you don't start with that, then you could have all the mitzvos in the world. But you're fundamentally lacking and you're incomplete. As we approach a new year, and really, this shouldn't be something that we only do in the month of Elul, that we only do the week before Rosh Hashanah. It should be something that we do on a constant basis. But at the very least, as we approach a new year, let's start by giving thought to those basic questions in our lives. What is the core of our lives? What are the organizing principles of our lives? What are the values that we stand for? What is it that we're moving towards? What are we trying to be? What are we trying to do? Do we have any core principles that organize our lives? If we begin to think about those questions, then we can at least tap into that Yisod HaChasidus V'Shorash HaAvoda that lies at the very foundation and core of our Avodas Hashem. And Be'ez Hashem Thursday, we can start talking about how indeed we can pursue them.